This report is part of WNPR's Mental Health Reporting Series, made possible by our founding partner, Hartford Healthcare Behavioral Health Network.
Restraining or secluding patients used to be commonplace in psychiatric facilities, but 10 years after a series of deaths nationwide, there's been a push to lessen the time patients spend restrained. Davis Dunovan reports that hospitals in Connecticut restrain patients at more than double the national average.
Pamela Spiro Wagner's apartment is full of art she's made while in psychiatric care. One piece dominates the room. It looks like a painting at first. It shows a threadbare seclusion room and a restraining bed.
That's made of Vogue magazines, and there's a little label of Prada leather on the leather restraints, which was done on purpose.
She made it while alone in a hospital seclusion room. The magazines were the only art supplies she had. Wagner has schizophrenia, and she's been in and out of Connecticut hospitals for decades. She knows what it's like to be restrained.
These leather or rubber or plastic or whatever restraints that they wrap around your wrist, usually tight, because they don't want you to get out, and they pull them as tight as possible to the sides of the bed.
She's put in four-point restraints. That means each limb is bolted to the bed. She says she stayed there for nearly a day at a time.
And I would just scream from the base of my lungs for 20 minutes, like the screams that if you had any heart, your heart would break if you heard me scream.
We know the literature is clear. Our clients are clear. Seclusion and restraint is usually a pretty traumatic event.
That's Pat Reamer, commissioner of the state's Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. She says the department has cut down on restraint since receiving a federal grant in 2008.
If we had our way, there would be no seclusion and restraint. We'd love to get to zero, but that's not always possible.
The Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services oversees facilities in Bridgeport, New Haven, Hartford, and Middletown. Reamer says because patients stay longer at state hospitals, doctors and nurses have more time to work with them on ways to avoid restraint.
Frankly, there are differences between our hospitals, our hospital beds, and general hospital beds, for example.
Federal data released in June showed Connecticut's rates of restraints are still high compared to most of the country. The state ranks 11th nationwide and 3rd for use of restraints among the elderly. Bridgeport Hospital topped the list statewide. Their numbers were high for elderly patients. The hospital has a large geriatric unit.
We realized about a year and a half ago that we really were having a problem.
Ryan O'Connell is the hospital's vice president of performance and risk management. He's pointing out the numbers only go up to the middle of 2013. He says the hospital's started changing its practices since then.
It was much more common for us to go to some type of restraint.
He says the image of the barren room and four leather straps is all wrong at Bridgeport. They're mostly trying to keep patients with dementia from wandering off and into danger.
I think it's really important that nobody thinks that we were tying people down hands and feet.
They're moving towards something called comfort rooms with colorful wallpaper, toys, games, or comfortable furniture. They're becoming common alternatives in a lot of institutions like Connecticut Valley Hospital in Middletown. CVH is a state hospital. It's cut back on using restraints by about 88% in the past decade. In 2002, a patient died after being restrained. The hospital conducted investigations after the death, but Director Charles Dekay says they'd already decided to make a change before it happened.
Our target is to make sure that we use it as sparingly as possible, only when it is absolutely necessary, and that we discontinue it as quickly as possible.
CVH started using comfort rooms years ago. DK says instead of putting a patient in restraints, they'll try to encourage them to spend a little time alone, doing something relaxing.
Because if somebody says to me when I'm not doing so well, I like to go into my room and play music, and that helps me calm down.
He says nurses will remember and bring it up if the patient starts to lose control.
This is what helps you, what has helped you in the past. Would you like to do that now?
But he doesn't expect to stop using restraints. He says there'll always be outliers, patients who come straight from emergency rooms and prisons. Ellen Blair is the nurse director at Hartford's Institute of Living. 2013 figures show Hartford Hospital restrained patients at a little over the state average. But she says they've cut back since then, thanks to new training programs and more comfort rooms. She says when a patient does go into restraints, they're looked after.
I personally go and make sure I know that patient check things, make sure, along with my nurse managers and my team, that, okay, what's going on? And we all talk about it at least every couple of hours, because we don't want to keep it going any longer than we have to.
She says patients aren't left alone, and restraint is only used as a last resort when patients are dangerous to themselves or others.
Every day we come here thinking, okay, today we're going to have a good day. You know, we're going to prevent people from getting agitated and having to go to that level.
But it's a last resort. These hospitals are saying they don't plan to take off the table entirely. Davis Donovan, WNPR News.